Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions. Questions like, when did you find out you were funny? And questions like, how different are you from your character in After Hours? Those are the questions that we get into, those and nothing else. I am one half of this podcast, comedy writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO and HBO Max, author of books like How to Fight Presidents at Barnes & Noble and barnesandnoble.com. And a third descriptor. Let's go with runner this week. Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, the sneaky Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer, a camper, a climber, a killer, a kale cooker, crunchy Colorado kid. Just like kind of a kook in general. I'd say like a kook.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do I like the least about that? I don't think you actually like kale. I know. That you know it's a superfood.
I get excited just as a bit about superfoods a lot. but I don't actually care for kale that much. I needed something to put after killer so that I could hide that one in there.
Got it.
In the hopes that somebody listening would be like, wait, what? And then if I ever am committed of or like convicted of a murder, people would know, he revealed it.
Okay. And you got and it was effective because I was not really tripped up or moved by killer. Yeah. You got camper in there. I'm going camping pretty soon.
Oh, that's right. Am I allowed to say where you're going?
Or are you
worried about running into people who want to talk about Godzilla versus Kong?
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Bidet Attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. Get 10% off plus free shipping and get your butt clean at hellotushy.com/QQ.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to Utah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite camping in the world is in Utah. We used to go there a lot when I was a kid because like all that sandstone out there is like my favorite type of desert.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's great. And it makes you feel like you've got superpowers because the grade at which you can climb up sandstone is much steeper than anything else in the world because it's basically like sandpaper. So you just sort of stick to it. And so like climbing up sandstone is very, very fun and feels sort of Spider-Man-ish.
Man, we really should have you as our guide on this trip because we don't have any Soren adjacent people. We looked at some pictures on the internet and thought it was pretty. So we booked flights.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's one of the things, though, that in the lead up to camping that first got me mad and then gave me perspective. So I went to REI to do some shopping, and I've had some great experiences at REI in the past, and this was not one of those. And so as I march in there with my wallet open, essentially, because REI is an adult toy store, mm-hmm. and I love all the shit in there, and all you need to do if you work for REI and you see me coming is to just like seem knowledgeable. That's it, because I'm gonna go there and say like, hey, I'm an idiot. Here's where I'm going. What should I get? And keep in mind, like, I'm gonna get whatever you tell me to get. Mm-hmm. And the employee that was there was just not. You know, it's a youngish kid, and I wanted to believe that everyone who worked at REI was like part of the co-op, you know, yeah. part of this like adventurous spirit. And I'm like, I'm going to Zion, and I'm going to do the Narrows. So like, what kind of footwear do you recommend? And she's like, like, you know, sandals. Like, no. So I'm doing the Narrows. So there's a lot of water. And she starts to think in the way that I would think when I was lying to someone. She was like, okay, what time are you going? You're going in May? Let's see, in May. And I wanted to jump in like, hey, I got to stop you there. It's a river. It's a river all the time. I'm walking through a river 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I need to make clear here. And she'd revealed enough in her answers that she is not my expert. So I just had to like leave dejected and like not, obviously, we both left with our dignities intact, where I pretended she gave me good answers.
Yeah.
And I left having not given this 17-year-old $300 for sandals. And I was so cranky about that for a while. Just like, why isn't everyone good at their job everywhere? And then I flash back to when I worked for Sports Authority in the fishing and camping division and just like made shit up all the time. Things weren't better when I had these jobs. I was still, someone would come in and I was some 17-year-old schmuck. And a guy was like, I want to get a good fishing reel for my father for his birthday. He likes stripers. Oh man, this is the best striper fucking reel I've ever seen. I fish every day for striper with it. Here you go. Tell him up front who helped you out.
Yeah, I get extra points for that. Did you find a shoe?
There's some really great rental places out there, which is very exciting. I want to dig into that noise in a second.
Okay.
Because it seemed like a godsend to me, because my plan was, I'm going to borrow some of my brother's stuff and I'm going to buy some stuff at REI that I'll just have forever, I guess, or return, because REI has a great return policy. And when I'm factoring in the logistics of like, what am I going to fly with for this trip? Because flying when you're camping somewhere is such a hassle, especially it's a week-long trip where some of it is camping and exploring and some of it is just like normal being a person in a town kind of stuff. So I need to pack for both things, and camping gear broadly like takes up a lot of room. Yeah. Not when it's on your back and everything like that, but if you're packing a pack and your sleeping bag and your mat and all your other shit, it's like it's just not an ideal flying situation.
No.
And there are a lot of places right around Zion in Utah where it's like, if you're doing the narrows, this is your package. These are your water socks, these are your water shoes, these are your poles and your dry bag. I don't need all of those things, but they understand who they're catering to out there. They know that people are doing exactly what I'm doing. They're flying in. They're not people who hike 8 hours through a river all the time.
Yeah.
And most of us don't want to buy poles at 35 for the first time in their lives. And then like, well, now I guess I own these poles now. So it's very handy.
Yeah.
You disagree.
No. It makes sense to me that there would be a market for that and that they know what they're doing because they're there. I'm worried that when you get a pair of shoes that you are not the one breaking in, if somebody else has broken them in or they're brand new and you're about to hike several miles, like you can really go wrong there because you can get really bad blisters from them because they're not, your feet aren't accustomed to them. So like the trick would be to get the shoes 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the trip and then use them a lot.
It's just the water shoes that I'd be renting. I have my own hiking boots.
Okay. Do they have Vibram soles on them? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're going to be fine. And do they have like kind of like canvas on the sides of them or like a webbing as opposed to like just straight leather without a lot of seams?
I think it's the latter, the straight leather.
Straight leather. Okay. You'll be all right. I think for being in the water, like those canvas ones aren't so bad. I would say generally if you're going to go hiking, like boots without a ton of seams are ideal. And the majority of your trip, those will be the best things you have. But if you're going to be in the water with them, it's harder to get those dry inside than ones where the water just sort of like leaks out from the canvas.
Yeah.
But you're getting a dry bag, you're getting all the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's gonna be a great trip. I'm sorry you can't join me.
The other thing I want to ask you about it.
Yeah.
Are you bringing cotton clothing with you?
What do you mean?
Well, your shorts, your shirts, like your warmer clothes is any of it cotton or have you checked? Do you know? Is it all synthetic fabrics or is it cotton?
I think it's mostly synthetic, but I could check again. Why?
I would say don't bring any cotton on the trip at all. Don't even like, not even like cotton socks, because the polyester will dry so much faster and it gets cold at night. And so, and you don't want, and if they, in the off chance that like your dry bag does leak or whatever, and you get water in it, you don't want to have, cotton just takes forever to dry.
Okay. I can still, I like to hike with a full mouth of cotton balls.
Okay. Because
then that tricks your brain. You can't, you don't want water because your mouth is full. It's an old life hack. I should still do that, right?
Yeah.
Just like cheek to cheek cotton balls.
But when I'm saying, when you go in the water, keep that your mouth shut. Don't let the water into the cotton balls. Because boy, it's going to take a long time for you to put those out on a line and let them dry.
Yeah.
Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
If you don't mind me starting the show here.
No, it's, we're 11 minutes. Jesus, I was hoping we were at like 43 minutes. All right. Yeah, make a meal out of this question, buddy.
Okay, my daughter just had her first birthday. And I was real excited because we were going to give her ice cream for the first time, which I don't know why parents get so excited about this, but it's just like such a treat to give your child something that you know is really good in the world and then to watch their face. And I wanted to get her an ice cream cake, and naturally my thought was to get a cookie puss. Now, do you know what a cookie puss is?
I do not.
Perfect. Okay. So Carvel, which is an ice cream company, has made a cake since the 70s called a cookie puss, which is basically, if you were to Google it and look at the face, it's just it's like a clown face.
Do you want me to Google it right now?
Yeah,
or do you want me to, yeah,
Google,
to stay blind?
Google it and look at the images. There's cookies for eyes. There's a big cone, like an ice cream cone. Upside down ice cream cone is the nose. And then there's kind of a body, like there's some little frosting arms and a frosting mouth. And
Yeah. I was hoping those arms were sideburns.
Nope.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's one of those circumstances where the arms come directly out of the head.
Okay. And, one of those circumstances, right.
And so Cookie Puss is just like, I don't remember when I was introduced to it in my life, but it's like my favorite type of cookie or ice cream cake. It's got kind of like some crumbles in the middle between two layers of a chocolate and vanilla. And you know how excited I get about vanilla. And I love it. I think it's like delicious. And so I was like,
this thing looks like pure aesthetic nonsense.
Yeah, it's absolutely
trash. It only exists for these pictures and to like wow a child when they first see it.
It also is like cheap wow. Like it's like, you can tell so clearly it was born in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like aesthetically like polished or anything. It's just, it kind of sucks as like a, from an aesthetic standpoint.
This might change by the time this episode comes out, but all I did was Google image search Cookie Puss Carvel. And the second one has this fellow that you're talking about, and his nose, they've used a shade of green that was discontinued. We don't make this green anymore anywhere in the world. It's a 60s green, and that's his nose. And written on the green is just the word egg.
Yeah, that's from Wikipedia. That's
what, like, the fuck?
That's like the standard cookie puss. I don't know why it says egg on it. No, the cookie puss it's a pretty expensive cake. Do you want to guess how much this thing is?
$17.95.
Oh, Daniel, way off. It's like $55.
Holy shit.
And yeah, you're certainly not, I think for a child, maybe they wouldn't recognize how silly looking it is, but it can't be past like age 7. I think by age 7, you're like, no, that's bullshit.
It seems like so much, it seems like a real nightmare for parents because like for a lot of cakes, the most frills you're going to see is like some kind of edible flowers somewhere.
Yeah.
Where someone, like the birthday kid, can say, I want a piece with flowers in it. Mm-hmm. Or I want a piece with a corner. Because then you get like the exciting corner part. Here, what if you're a kid who's like, I want a little bit of the cake itself and also some cone. So just like surgically remove the bridge of the nose of Cookie Puss from the center of this cake. And someone else is like, yeah, let me get like a quarter of its eyeball because it's got some cookie in there. And that, and I'm like, what are we doing if not getting cookie in there? And then I guess some of his like hat sprinkles. Jesus.
It is a nightmare to cut. And
what does one slice of this cake look like?
Yeah, it's either it's like a half moon or it's just a straight line that you like cut all the way down the middle up. It's like a bisection. And it's impossible to cut. The other thing is that it's whatever like the ice cream that they use in it is such like a thick, heavy cream that this cake has two states. It's either so frozen that you have to like pound a knife through it, or it's melted completely. it's all over its own box. And so I was like, I was trying to tell my wife that I wanted a cookie puss, and she's like, finally, she's like, I don't know what that is. I've been entertaining you. I've been letting you have your thing, but I have no idea what that is. And I was like, I thought it was universal. And so I looked it up and found out that Cookie Puss, that's the Cookie Puss. He has a whole history that Carvel created for him.
Thank God.
Yeah, that I want to share with you. Cookie Puss was born on the planet Birthday. He's a space alien.
Okay.
He can fly, but in order to do his interplanetary travel, he has to use his spaceship, which, to my knowledge, no one has ever seen.
Okay.
He has a cousin named Cookie-O-Puss, who only comes out on St. Patrick's Day. And I think the only difference is that the little nose ice cream is mint chocolate chip.
I'm seeing, without searching directly for it, I see Cookie-O-Puss. It's a very Irish cake. This is a huge inclusivity win. Thank you. And next to it is a full Guinness, and I am so sad. I'm sad for whatever person sees an Irish themed Erin Go Cookie O'Puss with a Guinness and is like, perfect. Together, that's gotta be $68 without tip. Nightmare.
Nothing I like more with my beer than a bunch of milk. And so you might be wondering why did they create this whole space alien backstory? Cookie Puss wasn't always his name. His name used to be Celestial Person, which was then just hyphenated to CP, not hyphenated, abbreviated to CP. And then from CP, they were like, oh, Cookie Puss, perfect. It makes perfect sense. Because Carvel is crazy. Now they've done interviews where people are like, because now anyone who encounters the Cookie Puss is like, what am I looking at? Like, why has this lasted this long? This looks like somebody made it one time for a birthday and like, didn't turn out the way I liked it, but whatever. You know, he's happy, he's four. And then, but it's just stuck around.
This is absolutely supposed to be like one family tradition. It's supposed to be a thing that you grew up with because, and then you find out when you're an adult, like, oh no, yeah, it's just mom only had one sized baking tin, and it was shaped like this, like this weird janky ass figure eight explosion, and so she's just like, we worked with what we got, and she made a Cookie Puss out of it and told everyone that it was here you go, it's Cookie Puss Day for your birthday, he's a monster from space. And then I got to college and I found out nobody else had that, but no, except it's like a full company makes this.
I mean, and we're not, even in the 70s, we weren't in a place where we couldn't reconstruct like the general outlines of a human face or even an alien face. This is neither of those. There's no reason it has to be this shape. It's a very strange, pendulous shape at the eyeballs. And then otherwise, if the eyeballs weren't there, it would just look like an upside down light bulb.
Yeah.
So they've done interviews with Carvel where they're like the Gothamist did an interview with Carvel where they're asking it like, what is this thing? And they're kind of trying to be serious. And Carvel refuses to acknowledge that this thing isn't real, that this isn't like some alien. They'll be like, they ask questions where they're like, okay. But once they start getting the answers about who Cookie Puss is, they're like, all right, well, before he was a cake, what did Cookie Puss do? And they're like, well, previously Mr. Puss worked as a test pilot for NASA, but quickly realized his tendency to melt under extreme pressure. They're just so set on this.
here's
another one of their answers. They asked, how much has Cookie Puss changed over the years? Like, is this still version 1.0? With the loaded subtext of, your cake sucks. Look, it like looks like shit. Why do you keep it with this cake? And they said, Cookie Puss hasn't changed over the years. He definitely defies the odds. Maybe it's that galaxy air. And then editorial note, some say Cookie Puss has changed plenty in appearance.
that's so bizarre because it's not like there was a Cookie Puss cartoon show or franchise or anything. So like I believe that the company has the answers to these questions, but those answers wouldn't make it out to the world if Gothamist didn't interview them sarcastically.
Right. And also like, come up with something. Like, it's everything about this is so half-assed. Everything about this cookie cake, even like the backstory, is like perfectly half-assed for what this thing is. I really appreciate how little work they put into this cake, and maybe that's part of the charm of it. Is yeah, that they just do not give a shit.
I love that someone was like, "Well, he's from space, so he would like work for NASA. NASA's cool, astronauts cool." And then someone else was like, "Yeah, but it's such a high pressure job. It's so stressful. Those guys seem really unhappy." He's like, "Yeah, okay, so he quit. So he did work for NASA.
Yeah, then he left.
But he quit. It didn't work for him. Yeah, we'll just bake that into the backstory." Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, should we think of some other jobs he could have done?" No, we're good. That's fine. Well, that's a job. What's the problem? Anyway, there's nothing other than the taste. There's nothing about this cake that's enjoyable, the backstory or anything. But oh my God, it's like the best cake I've ever had. And the cookies that are on it are somehow also very delicious. And Carvel is not known for their baking. They're good. The frosting that they use is not like a really oppressive buttercream or anything like that you sometimes get on ice cream cakes. It's delicious. Everything about it is really, really good.
I gotta tell you, I've been. Let's get a quick time check here. Yeah, I've been looking at Cookie Puss's mug for a full 10 minutes.
Oh,
and I do like it. I'm not as mad as I thought I was gonna be.
There's an additional detail that I'm leaving out, which is that there's another cake that's been just as successful over the years called Fudgy the Whale, which makes way more sense if you look at Fudgy.
Fudgy is that's a household name.
Oh, you know Fudgy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cookie Puss has been around just as long and is.
Soren, here's just like a real quick pro tip. Most people you talk to know Fudgy the Whale. They don't know Cookie Puss.
This is my whole life, Dan, is finding out that the things that I thought were true as a child are just not true for everyone else.
We all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past, because Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. Picture it. It's you. And you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. And then it's checkout. And the Honey button drops down like magic. And all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds. And Honey is going to search for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the price drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion. Remember? In savings. Now we're going to talk about personal experience. What did Honey save me money on? Oh, it sent me money on clothes and tech gadgets. I was buying clothes because we know I've got this camping trip coming up. So I was buying some clothes online because Soren gave me some tips on how I shouldn't have cotton clothes and I should have synthetic clothes. So I went online to buy the clothes and I said, let's click on that Honey button to see if we could find some coupons. And they did, friends. And how much did I save? $9. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ.
Anyway, I got her Cookie Puss. She really liked having ice cream. I was somewhat disappointed because I put it on a plate for, I was like, go to like, I put it down. She blew out the candle. She didn't blow it out. I blew it out for her. But then went to go get a knife. And while I did that, my wife took a spoonful of the cake and fed it to her while I was in the kitchen. And I was so hurt because I didn't get to see her pupils dilate or whatever's supposed to happen to a baby when they have ice cream for the first time. And it could have been nothing. Like her face could have done nothing. But I really just wanted to see that moment. And I missed it.
Man, I am genuinely very sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
That sounds like a real bummer.
Thank you.
If it's any consolation, I don't think this one should count as her first ice cream. I think it's its own thing.
That's probably true. I think you're right. I can't treat this. It's an alien. This is not even of our world. I've fed her something from space.
There's a couple of these where they've given him some detail for for like a cap. It's unclear if it's a brown baseball cap or like a Sherlock Holmes kind of detective hat.
I don't know what that is. Oh, so a lot of times that's shredded coconut up near the top for like the above the eyes. And I'm not sure if that's supposed to be hair or some of the cap, and then the very top is just frosting.
Yikes. I don't think they knew if it was supposed to be hair.
I don't think they do either, honestly.
Or what either.
I think even the idea that they were going to add arms at the end, that's got to be an 11th hour decision.
There's just so many different textures and flavors, especially now that I know that part of it is coconut sometimes.
Yeah.
So many different textures and flavors that are so far away from each other that this cake can't be an enjoyable experience for anyone.
There's a lot of real estate and like varying topography across the entire thing. So yeah, it's a very different habitat at the bottom of the cake than at the top. So somebody's getting a completely different experience depending on what type of cake, what part
just
they get.
These kids being like, you got coconut? Man, I got all cheek. Cheek is nothing.
Yeah, cheek is, and that's what you have to go through the cheek first. You have no choice. Yeah. Anyway, I love this cake, this stupid cake, and I'm glad that I could introduce it to you. I have actually another question, Dan.
Yeah, go for it.
That I wanted to ask you too. You ever bought a tree?
Christmas tree, yep.
No, I mean a living tree that you intended to plant and keep alive for it until you're dead.
No, I don't know. Why would I pause on that? Like, oh yeah, you know what? In college, I bought a couple of trees in college and planted them.
Yeah, well, there's a guy selling them on the back of his car one day when I was at Denny's, and I thought I could use some trees. So I hadn't either. I didn't realize how expensive trees are. If you were to, let me give you a scenario and you tell me how much you think this should cost.
Okay.
You're going to buy a 8-year-old tree. Now, an 8-year-old tree is probably like 8 feet tall. It has a trunk that still needs to be supported. So the trunk is maybe just a little bit bigger than a broom handle. And that's about an 8-year-old tree. Okay.
8-year-old trees aren't respectable yet.
No, they're just these little saplings. They're not so small that you'd be like, oh, I mean, it's taller than you, but it's still like that tree is going to need a lot of help before it's an adult.
You know, what's nuts is I sound really shocked right now, and I shouldn't. I have no, absolutely no reason for this to not conform to my expectations, because I have never thought about trees. But like, darn it, I thought they'd be similar to pigs in terms of rapid growth, and they're just not.
They're very much not. Actually, let me start a little higher. Let me say that like you're going to get like a 20-year-old tree. Now, that's a little bit bigger. It's got some substantial branches on it, but still, the trunk is not huge. It's like a coaster.
Okay. When am I? Jesus Christ! When am I getting a tree that I'm not working for? How old is that tree?
Oh boy, like 50 or 60.
Oh gosh. Well,
yeah. So now, let me ask you: how much?
Like I was right to have chosen to. Like, what's very apparent now, do a bunch of research on pigs instead of trees. That's immediately more going to be my area.
So let's say you want to buy a 20-year-old tree. Mm-hmm. And it's like a pretty tree. It's like a deciduous one that's going to change color in the fall. You like the look of it. How much would you be willing to pay for that tree?
Okay, it's a 20-year-old tree.
Yeah, it's tall enough that like it's clearly a tree at this point. Yeah, it's going to give you some shade.
The trunk is coaster diameter?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cookie Puss was $55.
Yes. Yeah. Use Cookie Puss as your basis here.
It's always tough because I want to be thoughtful, but I also want to be wrong because that will make for better content.
Uh-huh.
But I want to be right because I'm small on the inside. $200.
Okay. While you were thinking, I was thinking, I've blown it by telling him how old that tree is, because that there's a certain amount of like reverence that goes with having a tree that's so old, that's already 30 years old. Like, oh, that should be worth something. A tree that's that old, Dan, is probably about $15,000. Anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. It's like as much as a
Jesus
Jetta.
Christ. So, you have to $15,000?
For a thing that you might kill in the first 3 weeks of owning it because it just doesn't take in whatever soil you're putting it in.
You have to decide you want a tree more than a car.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's so... there's this nursery near me, and we wanted to get a tree for our front... I don't know what it's called, a causeway maybe? It's that area between the street and the sidewalk. That's not technically my property, but I still have to upkeep it.
Man.
And there was a tree that we found we really liked. It's a cool looking tree. And then I was like, all right, well, let me check the nurseries. And checked at this one nursery. And they quoted me this price that was like $8,000. And I was like, Jesus,
man,
for a tree? And I was like, that's crazy. No, because I have a coupon here that I got in the mail that says 50% off all trees and delivery. And they're like, yeah, that's the 50% off. And I was like, and it was a $15,000 tree that was 20 years old.
You can get so many little pigs for that.
You know what? I can actually even send you a picture of the tree because they sent it to me.
Oh, man, I you don't have to do that. I can already tell you, it's not worth it. That's a sucker's price, sort of.
I was like, I'm not getting that tree. And I was like, at first I thought this guy was just a dick. And so I was like, saying as much. I was like, there's no way this tree's $15,000. I'm not paying that much for a tree. And he's like, all right, good luck finding something somewhere else. And then I started to search around and had to eat my hat because this man was right, that trees are just super expensive. So I got I did end up getting a tree. I got one that was just 10 years old. And this tree was about $1,000.
Okay.
For a tree, that first one that I described, that little Charlie Brown Christmas one.
Yeah.
$10,000 for a tree.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. But what that's included in there is like a guarantee that it won't, like that they'll come and check on it if anything goes wrong with it in the first couple of years. And they give me this juice. Juice I'm supposed to feed it and like stuff like that. But still, the tree market is like worse than the wedding market. It's absolutely crazy. Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about Hello Tushy. Now, I would suggest getting a Hello Tushy not for strangers, not for your significant other, though I would assume that they would appreciate it. I'm saying get a Hello Tushy for children. Now, you might be asking yourself, how is that going to work? When a kid sits on a toilet, is the stream going to be right? Like, aren't the logistics harder? I'm not saying the kids should use it. I'm saying that when a young child gets shy, their first instinct is to just pop that face right up into your butt. A kid is around your knees and then somebody comes up and says, hi, nice to meet you. I'm your new teacher. Their first instinct is to just nose right up your butthole. And I'm saying, for those kids, for their benefit, you get a Hello Tushy. The Hello Tushy's brand new 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to get your butt ready for those kid faces. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and even saves your cheap-ass money. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just clean your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself with the Smart Spray automatic nozzle. That's a trademarked phrase, folks. The Smart Spray. Don't go using that, putting it on t-shirts. Hello Tushy attaches to your existing toilet. There's no electricity or extra plumbing needed. And it cuts your toilet paper use by 80%. That is a lot. There's still that extra 20 because you got to dry off. I mean, you can't just walk around with a wet butt. It defeats the purpose.
Wet butt.
Wet butt. Plus, Hello Tushy has a risk-free 60-day guarantee and a 12-month warranty. So if you're not happy with it or it breaks for whatever reason, hey, you just send it on back and they'll take it, even though it's been inside your toilet. Who else can say that? Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for Quick Question with Soren and Dan listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ.
Is there a... there's not an investment component to trees, is there? Like, you can't raise that tree up to be 30 years old and then flip it?
I think you can. Wait, sorry, did I say 10,000 or 1,000?
You said 1,000 for the 10-year-old tree.
Yes, okay, good.
And then you said 10,000 after
that. Yeah, sorry, that was a mistake. It's not 10,000. It's still $1,000 for a young tree seemed crazy. And then it started to make me think the same way your brain is going, which is, how do I wet my beak in this market?
Absolutely.
And so can I start growing my own trees? And here's the deal, is that you have to grow them in these giant boxes so that the root system doesn't get too elaborate, that you can't uproot them. So you got to grow these trees in like basically a bathtub size box for years, and then you get $1,000. And I thought, well, maybe that's not worth it. I don't think I have the real estate for that.
Well, so a couple of things.
Yeah.
Wasn't the county of Los Angeles trying to incentivize people to having trees in their front yards like as recent as a year ago?
Yes. So there's a...
And isn't that a neat thing that I just knew?
It is actually really good because this actually is a good part of the story, Daniel.
All right.
Culver City has a plan for each street and what trees you're allowed to have out on that little causeway on each street. And ordinarily, it's the city that's responsible for maintaining those trees and putting them in. But for whatever reason, they're impossible to get a hold of. Either, I don't know if they're so backed up or whatever the situation is. This is like a government industry, and there's nobody available to help you. I can't even find out what type of tree we're supposed to plant in our causeway. And so instead, I went to the block next door, and they've got a bunch of fairly new trees that all look like they're like 20 or 30 years old. And I was like, okay, this is a really cool tree. It's called a ginkgo. It's beautiful. We're going to get this one. And then we kept trying to get in contact with Culver City to find out if this was okay. No responses from them at all. And finally, we were just like, well, we're just going to pull the trigger and do it. So there's a chance that now this tree that I paid for by myself will take root, start to grow, and then somebody from the city will happen to see it and be like, nah, it's the wrong block. And they're going to want to pull it up.
Wow.
And I lose that, and then I just, it's all,
yeah,
it's all a wash.
Yeah. Then you eat that money, even though you're not going to see a return on this investment ever.
Right.
Beyond the, now you said earlier that there was a reverence for a tree that's being that old, and we grew up with a tree in my front yard that was a big climbable tree, and I couldn't tell you how old it was. And it certainly wasn't something that we like bragged about or that people came to be like, man, that's an old tree.
Yeah.
Here's some money or like, here's some respect. Nah, none of that ever happened.
But that tree was super old, I bet.
Yeah.
Like over 100 years old.
We ripped it right out of the ground eventually.
Oh, no.
I forget why.
Well, I think maybe it's hard to also, I can only compare it to human context and how old 100 is. And I'm like, that's so old. Mm-hmm. And then in the context of actual trees, man, trees, that's nothing to a tree. That's like barely reaching adulthood. And I've got, since I now know the pricing of trees, I've looked around my backyard in the house that we moved into, and I've got some fruit trees back there, like some orange trees and a lemon tree. And I'm like, oh my God. These trees are so expensive.
Man. This is going to do a bad thing to me, because I already have a terrible habit of mentally trying to count other people's money.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break it, but anytime someone's like, we bought a new house, or you know, whatever expense someone does, I'm trying to think like, okay, so he's a lawyer, and she does this job, so... they must be making, man, he must be a really good lawyer or whatever. Just like trying to figure out how much money someone makes. And I want to kick that habit because it's bad. And you've made it worse now because I never would have thought of how expensive trees are. But now if I see someone who's buying trees, I'd be like, oh man, Steve's got fucking tree money?
Yeah, if you ever see somebody who's re-landscaped or their place and all of a sudden they've got new trees on their property that look substantial, like they've been there for a while, that was the most expensive part of the project by far. And like, as much as like, if they've got multiple trees, that they might as well put in a pool instead.
Man,
it's a racket. I think, I mean, how much can it cost to raise a tree? I guess it's just the time is
like
what you're paying for.
Everyone is all the time so mad about there not being enough trees, broadly speaking, and how we keep getting rid of trees. I think, and like a lot of times when billionaires are in trouble, they're like, I planted a tree for every like shitty thing that I did. Is everyone happy now? And everyone is like, yes. Because of this, I feel like it should come at no cost to you to have a tree. A, you're making the neighborhood look better. That's like a true thing that I know California cares about, or Los Angeles anyway. And B, you're making the world better. It's like completely separate from cosmetics. We agree for some reason that I remember in eighth grade science class that we want trees to be around. So I'm walking right up to the line of you should get paid for having that tree because you're doing a public good.
I agree. One thing Southern California will do is when you redo your property and you xeriscape it or you put in artificial grass or you do something that requires less water use, they give you a rebate if you do the whole yard. And that's a nice thing. They actually like pay you to be like, oh, you're using less water? We will give you money to put in that, to help you put in this new xeriscaping. But
$10,000 for a fucking tree. Charge me to recycle, you idiots. That's your next racket.
Yeah, it's really, really frustrating. It was the minute I started like looking around and realized this guy was right. Not only did I was I mad because I had been wrong and felt like a fool, but because that's too much for a tree. It's too much for trees. We're charging too much for trees.
Also, I agree. I'm very passionate about this thing I learned about seconds ago. What the tree market, apart from clearly being a buyer's field, do you have a lot of options? Or like when you ate your hat, you said, and went back to that guy, can't like, are there a bunch of other shops in town?
Yes, there are a lot of nurseries. But the weird thing is that you go to any nursery and you'd be like, I'm looking for this type of tree. I'm looking for this ginkgo. And they'd be like, okay, well, we got two of those. And like, they just have, they're not like there's this huge surplus where you go through and you look through every single tree and you're like, ah, I like the way that this one is cut down low and the curve of the top.
Yeah.
Like you don't do any of that. You just have like two trees you get to choose from, a 30-year-old one or a 10-year-old one or whatever. And I'm like, well, where are the rest of the trees? Because I know you didn't just grow two in the hopes that 40 years later, a guy like me would come along. I guess not 40 isn't the right. I was being hyperbolic, but like the decade later, a guy would come along and be like, "I want that tree," as opposed to if I would have come 4 years ago or 4 years later.
Yeah, I don't understand, and also it makes me think like when you're forced to spend a lot of money on a tree, which sucks ass, and then you have to choose between two, so you don't have the options to even pick a tree that you think will look cool. I know exactly what you're talking about when you're saying it's not really a buyer's market in that place. Because you want a hot tree. It makes me wonder, there's got to be a much more expensive like puppy farm for trees, right? Where you go to Beverly Hills somewhere and it's somehow indoors. And they're like, yeah, these trees are treated horribly, but every single one of them looks fucking sick. So that's what you're paying for.
I think that market does exist. So I read an article
recently. We can tell you how many branches it's going to have, buddy.
I read an article, I saw an article on Twitter and then kept scrolling. But it was about how a bunch of millionaires, the big thing now is to have a living tree in the middle of your house. And that they design the house around the tree so that it gets enough light and it can sustain itself inside your house. But that they're like, the centerpiece of the house is a living tree, and to be like, look at how I've tamed nature, or whatever you've decided to do with your millions of dollars, or what that means. But that must be that kind of place where they're like, we have from its birth trained this tree with wire and with different things to encourage growth in very specific areas and make it look absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Tom Cruise was thinking about getting this tree, but he had to back out.
Oh, God,
at the tree's behest.
Oh, I want to hear that so bad, that a celebrity didn't get my tree. Like, couldn't handle it.
And this isn't... You don't think... I imagine you're not going to get another tree.
No, hell no.
You're not going to be like a tree guy now all of a sudden.
No, I spent all my money on a tree.
This has got to factor into how long you stay in that house, I guess, in a way that I hadn't considered.
Yeah. Well, we have two other trees in the front yard that we planted, but they're small. The one of them is an orange tree, and we bought that one we planted when it was about a foot tall. And then we have an olive tree that we planted that was, when we bought it, was like 4 feet tall. And in that case, it's like a different type of tree. It's very spindly and it costs like $15. But my hope was like, oh, these will grow into substantial trees while we're here when my son is on his way to college. Like, I shall pluck an orange from this tree and hand it to him and he will eat that on the road instead of fast food.
Great. On the day he leaves for college, just rip the tree out of the ground and hand it to him.
This is for you.
This is yours now.
So I'd already had all those romantic ideals about it before I even put this one in, where I was like, we're in this for the long haul. We're planting these tiny trees. These will be here forever and I will see them grow.
Right. Okay.
But I just want this one to be tall and cool already.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's going to be forever.
It's are any of the neighbors impressed yet?
Yeah.
I imagine they must know what this world is.
I can't tell. I can't tell if they're impressed on like a, from an expense point of view, for like a fiduciary point of view. But they, people have come by and been like, some people have been like, this is a really nice tree. I really like it. Great job. And other people have come by and they've been like, ginkgo. And they know their trees. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, this is going to be real pretty in the fall. And I'm like, I fucking know, man. That's why I got it.
Oh, damn it. I love how much people like stuff and know about stuff.
Oh, we had talked previously on a podcast about how I knew trees. Mm-hmm. And how you were impressed by that. So
did I make a really solid Dear Evan Hansen joke?
No.
Okay.
You want to go back?
No.
All right. There's an app that I've been using called Seek that lets me just use my camera and like kind of like walk around a tree or walk around a plant, and it will look at it for a little while and be like, I know what this plant is. And it will tell me what kind of plant I'm looking at. And now I'm addicted. I just use it all the time on everything. Everything in my yard, everything in other people's yards. Because I've always just like walked past trees and been like, you know, I don't know that one. Oh, well. And now I know every tree.
What do you do with this information? Is it just so when you're walking with someone else and they ask you what kind of tree that is, you can tell them?
No, it's only for my own edification. This is the first time I've mentioned it to anybody. I've just been hoarding all this tree information, tree and plant information. And the reason I originally got it was that I was growing strawberries and they were like, this plant was just kicking ass all winter. And I was like, this is great. This is so cool. This is great. I'm finally growing strawberries. And then I used this app to like really like look it over because I started to have some suspicions that it might not be a strawberry. And it was a weed.
Ah.
Just kind of looked like strawberries when it was young and then turned into something gross and viney after that. And after that, I had this app and I was just using it on everything. And I know so much about the flora of Los Angeles.
Well,
it's very exciting for me. Anyway,
that is very exciting. Yeah. I'm sure at some point in our future, you'll send me pictures of the most amazing trees and I'll be obsessed by all your forest expertise. And that's a Dear Evan Hansen lyric that everyone can have as a little treat.
There it was. I'm glad you sprung it on me and didn't just be like, when I said, do you want to do it? You weren't just like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture of my tree, at least. You can see it.
Yeah, I would really love that. I like that this is...
Story of a girl.
Yeah, this is a story of a girl. This is a podcast where you tell two amazing, fascinating stories. One of them is your daughter's first birthday and having Cookie Puss ice cream for the first time in her life. And I'm like, let me see this tree. Let me see this this wallet busting tree of yours.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know where my demographic is. All right. Well, what if we just ended the show?
I think, we should end the show. I'm sort of tired of doing the bit that we end the show on all the time. I think I owe it to our audience to explain this. I genuinely think like we have exhausted every different version of the joke. Where we could say a different version is like trick them into revealing something embarrassing, having them yes end their way into a painted corner that is inescapable, have them do something, whether it's a voice or a song that's embarrassing. These are the wells that we've gone to with different accoutrements over and over again. And I think the only... there's not a new spin on it. And the only new thing that could happen is one of us revealing a thing we don't want to reveal. and like, we're already... We're playing things pretty fast and loose,
yeah,
by just sort of screaming into microphones a couple of times a month. So we should remove any opportunities to potentially ruin our careers and our lives. So we're going to retire that bit. And this would have been a really good time for me to come up with a replacement bit.
Well, you know what? I don't think our outros are doing... I mean, like our here's how you contact us stuff is doing us any favors either. I'm not picking up new followers from that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. Do we just end it? Do we just stop talking at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should give a little love to Gabe Harder at least. He's our editor, sound engineer, and what else would you call a producer? Yeah, Gabe Harder. You go to GabeHarder.com sometime in the future, and maybe if he wants another job, you could hire him there. All right.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.